Hello and welcome to Mike's Camera Action. I'm Carl.
And I'm Alex. Hello.
And we're still on the Spooktober train.
It's very spooky.
It's super spooky today.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, because it's the Superman. Anyway, we did Brightburn, which is like Superman, but like he's shit.
Yeah, I mean, like it's Superman, but he's like evil instead of good. It's like instead of like building the Fortress of Solitude, Jor-El?
Being his father, yeah, Jor-El, yeah.
Yeah, Jor-El decided, fuck you, I'm going to enter brainwashing into you and you make you take over planet Earth.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. He's just, it seems like it's a case of like this robotic reprogramming thing where he's just, oh, now I must kill.
He's been a sleeper agent all along.
Yeah. You asked me for like a one line.
Yeah.
Like, how would I sum this up?
And you responded with Billie Eilish played at the end, 0 out of 10.
But before I responded with like, it's an argument about nature versus nurture.
Yeah.
But with Superman. So the big thing about Superman is he becomes this ultimate force for good because his parents are really good people and raise him properly.
Yeah. I mean, you'd argue that also Jor-El
and also like his birth parents are like the kind people of his species.
It's not General Zod.
Yeah, exactly. Like most of the other Kryptonians, from what we understand, are more in line with General Zod.
Yeah, but that's mostly because they're villains. Oh, yeah, you got exactly. Kara's.
Yeah, that's true. Exactly.
It's Kara.
The L family is like known for being nice people.
Yeah.
So, but in this one, it's a bit more of like the flip side of just, well, he's born to be a shit, so he's gonna be an evil shit despite his good parents.
Yeah.
Like, they do their best. They try to raise him properly, and then he just becomes a shit when he hits puberty.
See, like, I went in vaguely knowing the concept.
Yeah.
And then the thing that got me was that when it's not even halfway during the film, it's like the first 20 minutes that he's talking about wasps.
Yeah.
And the family is apparently a species of wasp that can't build nests, so they just take other people's nests.
Yep.
And I'm like, ah, that's the plot of this film.
Yeah. You're not wrong. There's like a weird thing that they do in a lot of horror movies that involve a child where they have to have a classroom scene that explains the theme of the movie just outright. There's like no... There's no like pretense or setup about it. It doesn't really do anything to accomplish the plot. It just says, here's the theme, and also here's like another classmate who's going to come up later.
Yeah, she's going to come up later.
Yeah, and she do, and it's really creepy.
Yeah, no, that gets really weird.
I was really worried about where they were going to take that kid in the classroom when he shows up at her house playing the music. I was really worried about what direction that was going to go.
Yeah, considering they're 12.
Yeah, exactly. And considering the scene before this was, hey kid, it's okay to touch it every now and again.
Yeah.
I was really worried. I was like, how fucked up is this going to get?
Yeah, so basically the plot of the film is that he's evil Superman. I think it's not a bad film.
No, I just feel like I like the idea of it, like having a young... It's like if Clark Kent in Smallville, like when he's young.
Yeah.
But he turns out, you know, it doesn't go well. He turns out a murderer. Yeah. He becomes a monster instead of becoming the ultimate bastion of humanity.
The issue that I had is that there's no struggle. I
was just about to say that, yeah.
There's no struggle within the parents.
Mm.
Like the mum,
she does. She has that conflict but he's my kid, and then has to take the time to realize he's a monster.
Yeah, but even then, that happens like it's like a snap thing. It's like, oh no, he's actually a monster.
Yeah,
he's trying to kill me.
He's got to turn a sheriff into paste before you realize, oh fuck, he's a bad guy.
Yeah, it's not all the things that like your husband's been telling you for days.
Meanwhile, he was fucking ready, dude.
Yeah, he tried to put a bullet in him.
Yeah, which, I mean, fair point. Like trying to take a shot at the kid, but surely, like, there's no way you expected that to work, right?
Oh, he doesn't know. See, like that's the thing.
I know, but like the kid's pretty fucking beefy. Like the amount of what, like it knowing what I know.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm just sitting there like, the ain't gonna work, son. Don't bother with the gun.
Although, to be fair, he'd also mentioned that he'd never bled.
Yeah, exactly.
Or bruised. He'd, or broken a bone.
He'd never been hurt at all.
Yeah, until, like, he cuts himself in the barn.
Well, he cuts himself on the ship.
Yeah, he cuts himself on the ship.
Yeah, there's just something about the ship that just can hurt him. Which, I mean, doesn't happen ever again, despite our hero's best interest.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those ones where they set that up only for it to fail.
Yeah.
And I thought that wasn't bad, because I was like, is this, like, going to be the thing?
It did create a bit of suspense and tension of, like, oh, how is this going to end? Are they actually going to be able to hurt this kid?
Yeah. But, yeah, no, there felt like there were definitely at points where, like, there was no struggle. There was no, like, oh, no, I shouldn't do this. It was, fuck you, I'm Superman, I do what I want.
Yeah, which, and I wish, like, I feel like this is good concept, bad, not perfect execution, where I feel like there should have been some more struggle on the kid's front. He just seemed, like, so uncaring and uncharismatic.
Yeah.
I just wish there was more, like, right at the end, before he murders his own mother, he says, I want to do good, Mom. And I just feel like he's lying.
Yeah.
I feel like it's full of shit, and I wish there was more, like, of a struggle there of this person wanting to do good and then having, and then turning evil because of, like, the feeling of betrayal because his mother just tried to kill him or something.
Yeah, there was, like, something. Like, when he, instead of, like, murdering everyone, if he'd been going around, like, saving people.
Yeah.
For, like, part of the film.
Or ended up doing the wrong thing because he's trying to do good. Like, yeah. You know,
turning him into the villain. Like, he caused some sort of accident by trying to help someone.
Exactly, like, pull off the Civil War route where he's trying to save people and in the process hurts many more people.
Yeah, and then they all hate him for it, so it's like, you wanted the bad guy, I'm the bad guy now.
Yeah. God fucking damn it. The fact that plays during, like, the montage of six superheroes, like, with Michael Rooker doing his Alex Jones bit, I was so mad. The fact that they got Michael Rooker in for 2 seconds to do that end segment, and that's the song that they have playing as well.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is produced by James Gunn. Where's Michael Rooker at?
Yeah, exactly.
I was also like, where's Sean Gunn? Surely.
There wasn't a lot of star power in this. Like, a lot of those actors are very unknown. I think the one person I actually recognized was the guy who plays Badger from Breaking Bad.
Oh,
was
really?
Was his uncle.
Oh, okay, because I recognized the dad. He's Roy from The Office.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was like, oh, shit, it's Roy.
Okay. I haven't seen much of The Office, so you'll have to forgive me.
I've seen something you haven't. What the hell?
I know, right? You've seen a lot more You've seen a lot more like comedy TV show.
Yeah, I've seen a fair few sitcoms. Yeah.
But considering the most important element of this is the fact that it's an evil Superman. Have you seen a TV? Have you seen the Amazon series called The Boys?
No, I haven't seen The Boys yet.
Okay, because I think that pulls off the dark Superman much better.
I think there was a lot of time constraints with this. Because there was no build up to anything, and I felt like had there been a build up, it would have been more. Like, I think it would have been better.
Yeah.
Like, all it takes is him, like, not controlling his powers once, and him accidentally murdering someone.
Yeah.
And then he's the bad guy, and everyone turns on him.
Mm.
Rather than like, oh, blah blah blah, you took my gun away, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna murder you.
And also having a ship just tell him, no, you're made to kill. Like, I know, you like seeing the fall of the hero so much more than just, by the way, the unstoppable monster's a bad guy.
And it's not like, he's not even a good villain.
Yeah.
It's not even like with a good villain, sometimes you feel sympathy for them.
Yeah.
Like, the whole thing with Dr. Freeze is that he's trying to save his wife. He's just bad. Kind of.
After the animated series, yeah, that was the case.
Yeah, after the animated series. Well, like, to an extent.
Made him so much better.
Yeah. And he's, like, trying to save his wife, but he's doing evil.
Yeah.
Like, you've got those who just, like, is clearly just a lust for power. And then you got this kid who's just like,
I want to hurt people. I like killing people. Feels good.
See, I would have much rather an overall Superman where he's like trying to help people, just doesn't give a damn about his methods.
I like about the Homelander and the Boys. Yeah. He's basically like a sort of Superman, a little bit of Captain America. Like he's supposed to be like the All-American, which is kind of like the, you know, what Superman used to be.
Yeah. Still kind of is.
Yeah. You don't quite get that in Man of Steel. It's not about him being, you know, the All-American hero. Yeah. But he basically has this mentality of, like, he gets the job done, but people get hurt a lot. Yeah. Like the first scene we see him in, he stops this bank robbery, but in the process he uses his laser vision to melt a guy's gun into his hand, which is going to scar him for life. Like, that guy's going to lose the hand.
Yeah.
And then he grabs one of these robbers and throws him up into the air.
Yeah.
The guy just vanishes off into the air for like 30 seconds. He stops to take a picture with a couple of kids, and then the guy comes down behind them, just on top of a car.
Oh.
Like, just paced.
Oh, I've really got to watch The Boys.
Yeah, there's a great scene where they where he's just going around like laser visioning dudes just left and right, like just doesn't give a fuck. Like, Superman's this no-killing kind of person. There's always another way. And in this one, he's just like, fuck it, I'll laser every motherfucking one of you. I don't care.
Yeah, no. So, like, that's the thing. Whereas, like, with Brightburn's just like...
Yeah, he's not making any... He doesn't make any effort to help. I don't think at any point he does make an effort to actually try and help anyone.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
It's all about him. He's very selfish.
Yeah, there isn't any use of his power to actually be like, oh no, maybe I should stop the car crash. Maybe I should help the people, do this, that, and the other.
And the other thing about it, though, is, well, he causes the car crash.
Yeah, well, exactly. He throws a car.
Yeah, the other thing about it is that, like, it's all just wanton destruction.
Yeah.
There's no demands. There's no, like, underarming plot. It's just burn.
Yeah.
And it just leads it to be very, like, lackluster. I just wanted this, like, story where, like, you see the struggle between good and evil.
Yeah, there's no real force of good in this movie.
No, it's just force of averageness.
Force of person versus Titan.
Yeah, it's like, cool, 1v1 Superman at the back, you know, boys.
Take Superman on a hunting trip and go for it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, kid, tell me all about the deer tracks.
Because they, like, both grew up in the Midwest, you know, it's like the same setting.
It's literally the exact same setup for Superman.
Yeah, they make idle reference to, like, the fact that it's Superman.
Yeah, they even give him, like, at one point he's got the red cape being a blanket trailing behind him for a couple of seconds.
Yeah, for like a second, and you're like, ah, yes.
Yeah, it's very heavy-handed. It's exact, like, it is Smallville. It's this small town, like, in rural America, and he's got the exact same parent stereotype set up. He's got the same deal of, like, you know, this tiny city, just they lives miles away from on a farm. You know, it's the ultimate setup for, hey kid, I'm going to teach you some responsibility in the American way.
Yeah,
and then he doesn't learn any of it.
Yeah, like, you could argue this is like, you could argue that it's almost an allegory for the fact that, like, the American way is gone. Like, you don't have that, like, America patriotism. Yeah.
There's don't bother instilling that in him.
Yeah, maybe that's why.
Yeah, that's what it's about, Alex. It's about how if you don't teach your kid the power of God and the government, truth, justice, and the American way, he's fucked.
Nah, man,
he's gonna turn out a monster.
I don't believe in big government. My rights were never ceded.
He's gonna become a commie monster.
I'm a sovereign citizen.
How dare you, sir? That doesn't hold up in court.
This is the maritime court. You can tell by the tassels on the flag.
Sir, your flag is incorrect. Therefore, you have no jurisdiction over me.
I still wonder whether or not sovereign citizens believe in citizens' arrests. I'm just really curious.
Good question. Could they pull one?
Can someone answer me this?
If you know, let us know. Or let Alex know.
Let me know, please.
The man wants to find out.
But yeah, no, there's this distinct lack of, like, I feel like we're being railroaded to this point where he's just the bad guy.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, I never felt like there was a point of, there was a chance of redemption. It seemed like it was very much like forcing down to the end of the road where it's going to end with him and his mother over this spaceship.
Yeah. It's
one way or the other.
And it's like, cool. I did like the bit where, like, she goes to stab him and wasn't successful. Like, I liked that.
Yeah.
But, like, even the bits of tension like that, like in the diner with the car and, like, the house.
Fuck the diner, by the way.
Yeah?
God, just whenever it comes to just bad things to do with people's eyes, that one was way too much for me.
Also, why does everyone pull out the glass? Leave it in!
Oh, God! Oh, it was so bad! Why'd it have to do that in the first place? Just, shard of glass in the eye and just so many close-ups. God damn it.
And then like all the POV
eye torture.
Then there's all the POV of like the red from the blood.
Yeah.
Also, God, yeah, goddamn, just leave things in. That's how first aid works.
Let the doctor do it.
The first thing they teach you in first aid is like, yeah, if you get stabbed by something, just leave it in.
If you can, yeah. If you can, it's safe to do so.
Yeah, if it's safe to do so, just leave it in.
Like, don't try and gouge out the bullet. It's not going to help.
You got my trusty pocket knife?
No, don't do that. It's very bad. You can live with shards of bullet in you, and chances are, they usually don't stay in one big piece. You don't usually have just a big slug of lead sitting in there. They tend to topple and fragment.
Yeah, it's when you just need an electromagnet in your chest.
Thanks, Tony.
Yeah.
Here, cart around this car battery or you will die.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, like aside from that, like with the house, I liked alarm. And it's like, yeah. What's going on?
God damn it. I love his uncle's reaction to finding him in the closet. He's just like, God fucking damn it, kid. What are you doing in my house? And what are you doing with that stupid ass mask?
Yeah.
He's just like so mad at this fucking kid.
It's like, cool.
Just, all right, you know what? You're going home. Come on.
It's like, and like with the aunt, and it's like, walk home.
Yeah.
You're going to walk home. Yeah. Good, go.
Go, get out, go home before I call your fucking parents, you little shit.
Yeah.
Do you understand how inappropriate this is?
Yeah, it's like as soon as like anyone mentions his parents, it goes like to 11.
You know shit's gonna ramp up. Don't tell mom.
Yeah, it's like what?
It's okay. I didn't break your arm that bad.
It's like when bloody he grabs her hand and just crushes it.
God, the violence in this movie is really fucking harsh. Like it's gritty, dude.
Yeah, and but it's not consistent. Like no. It's not like as in like it's like this very sharp bits of violence, and then it's just bland.
Well, I think that's to... I think that does help. Like, there's only... You only get, like, 5 or 6 people dying in this movie.
Yeah.
It's not, like, mass...
Oh, yeah.
It's not like the ending of Man of Steel, where it's just mass destruction. So oh, yeah. I feel like it's about making those 6 really hit.
And they do, but then I just feel like it's... Like, if it was paired with a rise in tension, it would be better. But the tension... There's just no tension in this film.
I thought with in the latter ones for sure, where you've got him melting through his dad's skull.
Yeah.
Because that one's just him running and trying to get away from his flying son, and then yeah inevitably screwed. And then I think the when he's tearing apart the family house, and then the sheriff rolls up.
Yeah.
I thought that was really well done.
Yeah.
Just having him just turn to paste out of nowhere. I think was brilliant.
Oh, yeah, but there's no, I don't know, I really want to like this film because I really like the concept.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I felt like
it
was
just
so bland.
Yeah.
Like, I can go, oh, I've seen this film and that's it.
Mm.
Like, is there anything else?
Well, they set up for potential sequel cinematic universe where they throw out, you know, the entire where they literally do the same thing as Batman versus Superman of having a bunch of videos play to set up all the other characters in their universe. Just here they all are in a line, and it's just a dark Justice League.
No, I thought that was more just he's a whack job.
Well,
I didn't see that more as like this is the dark Justice League. I considered it more like, this guy is real, as well as all the... It's like, he's a crackpot.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's an Alex Jones crackpot type, but at the same time, all of the characters he sets up are Justice League... Like, all of those sketches and, like, things he talks about are other Justice League characters.
Yeah, I get that.
Like, a woman who kills people with a rope.
Yeah.
Like, this vision of Aquaman. One of them looks like the design of The Flash. One of them looks like Martian Manhunter.
Yeah, and I get that. I just think it was, like... It's like, it's a deliberate, like... wink at the camera.
Definitely. And I don't think there's gonna be sequels, but they still do it like they still do that thing of like, oh, every other superhero movie is going for that cinematic universe, we gotta try and throw something out there just for the fun of it at the end.
Yeah
You know, you gotta play it, you know, play to it.
Yeah, I just think this was like pretty blah.
Yeah, but how good would it be to have a movie about Lex Luthor except he's good? Like, think about it. If you were to have, like, if they were to make a cinematic universe about this, all of the villains would become good guys.
Is good Lex Luthor just Iron Man?
You know, kind of, except I feel like Lex Luthor's less of, like, Iron Man's very, like, into, like, you know, he plays the part of the hero. He's very into it. He's Iron Man.
Yeah.
Whereas Lex Luthor tends to be a lot more hands-off. It's about what he can do with money and power and influence. And occasionally he wears the mech suit.
Yeah.
Like, Lex Luthor's more about plotting and trying to turn people against Superman than actually going out and punching Superman.
Yeah, Lex Luthor's so more Tony Stark than just...
Yeah, he's more about where you place the millions of dollars,
yeah,
than just putting it all into the suit so that he can be the hero.
Yeah, you just got to stop that evil Superman, my dude.
Yeah, so now I want to see. Now I want to know what that would be like to have like a good Lex Luthor, a good the Joker.
Yeah,
a good fucking Ocean Master. I don't know who's
a good Ocean Master. It's just Aquaman.
Yeah, and I know
it's just Aquaman.
But when Aquaman's the bad guy,
it's just two Aquaman pointing at each other.
Good guy, Black Manta.
Yeah,
fucking sick, right?
Yeah,
just the dumbass headgear.
It's like a laser shoot from my head, boy.
Have you seen Aquaman yet?
Yeah, I saw Aquaman when it came out.
Yeah, honestly, I gotta give him credit. They did a good job with making Black Manta just fucking like look as stupid as he does in the cartoon,
like was actually pretty sick.
Yeah, he was kind of cool in like the one scene where he shows up to fight Aquaman.
Yeah, and then it's bye.
Then it's just okay, bye now. You're done. Off the cliff.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Black Manta looks so dumb.
He's a really ridiculous thing.
But yeah, you got to go for... I liked that because it's that bit of comic booky.
Yeah. Oh, I like the way a lot of the superhero movies lately have been really latching on to keeping the comic book style. Yeah. Like keeping those costumes. Like Aquaman wears his costume at the end, which, yeah. I mean, it's only at the end, but at least he does.
Yeah, it's that, it's that bright orange-green like thing. And
yeah,
it's like,
it's just like this scale-like suit, and it actually... You know, it kind of works within the context of the film. It actually fits in decently,
yeah.
And I'd like to see that going forward. Like, it's a good jump from like the X-Men movies from 2000, when they didn't have them wear the suits and they just went like, okay, we gotta give them like some black leather or something because if we have them all wear yellow, it's gonna look dumb.
Yeah, you know? That yellow, like, I think they wear it at one point or someone makes a reference to it at some point.
They reference it in that movie where I think Cyclops says to Wolverine, what do you expect, yellow spandex?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I watch that now and think, but what if I want the yellow spandex?
Yeah, but that was during a period where they were sort of trying to make these movies without referencing the comic books too heavily.
Yeah, a lot of superhero movies, at least back then, were they were kind of embarrassed to be superhero movies, is the best way to put it. Like, they didn't want you to think of comic books. They wanted to try and be their own thing. I think it might have...
It's part of the reason I'm not a huge fan of, like, the Dark Knight stuff, is that because it's, like, it's trying to, like, edge away from this comic booky thing.
Because,
especially with Batman, you've got stuff to consider, like... you've got like the Batman 1989, really good.
Yeah,
has a comic book aesthetic that really suits Batman.
Oh yeah.
And then you've got Batman and Robin,
which is kind of almost more Adam West.
Yeah, which is more Adam West, and I think that's part of the reason that led to the embarrassment to be a comic book film.
Yeah,
because people remember that because it's not good.
I think Blade also might contribute, in my mind, at least, so the first of the comic book movies in this sort of new era of superhero movies, and it was very dark and gritty and about fucking vampires and everyone's wearing black and shades.
But like that suited Blade.
Oh, exactly. Which is why it's unfortunate that the X-Men kind of went down that path of putting everyone in black and making it like really cool.
At least
edgy.
Like stuff with like some of the later ones. I haven't seen Dark Phoenix yet. But
I haven't seen it either. But
Days of Future Past and stuff.
Yeah, they
like
do
that.
Edge into it of putting them in like the blue and yellow, which is really cool. And they do go a bit more like bright and showy about it, which I like. Which is what's so cool about the Marvel movies is how everything's so bright and colorful, and they put like the costume. They make those costumes look good on film.
Like Thor's helmet when he puts it on in Ragnarok and he's just put the thing down. It's like this, and it's still got the wings, basically.
It's a little bit like sci-fi version of it, which kind of works and is pretty cool.
Yeah, like it fits the aesthetic that they're going for in these movies. Yeah.
Like the fact that I saw Far From Home and thought, wow, the Mysterio costume's badass. I hope he wears it more in this movie.
But it looks dumb.
Well, Well, it looks really, it's a really goofy when you take, when you think about like the comic and the cartoons. But then in the film, they actually did a decent job of making it look like a sort of combination between Thor and Iron Man's regalia.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen Far From Home
you
yet.
You haven't seen? Oh,
no.
Dude, yeah, the Mysterio costume's actually really cool.
I've seen like stills from it, and I agree, it looks pretty cool. But yeah, I'm just
in motion, it actually totally works in this movie, like fishbowl and all, you know? I'm not kidding. It really does work. I'm actually sad he didn't wear it with the full fishbowl and everything more, because it's actually really cool to see.
Yeah, but it's Jake Gyllenhaal. You paid for the face.
Oh yeah, exactly. You pay for the face. You gotta make that fishbowl transparent. You can't have it fogged the entire movie.
Yeah. I definitely like this new like comic booky aesthetic.
Yeah.
Brightburn didn't have it, but
Brightburn didn't have it. Have it at all. It's just like,
I don't think it really needed to.
No, it shouldn't.
It's going for a more. I wouldn't mind it being more comic booky at the start, like this bright, colorful, and then turn into this real dark, gritty.
Well, yeah, the weird thing is, have you seen the trailers for this?
Yeah.
Because the first trailer that they showed off, at least the first one I remember seeing, it was pretty much a ripoff of the Man of Steel trailer. It played a little bit of that, like a little bit of the Sting from Man of Steel, like that, like, you know, rising Superman music. And then it turned dark and gritty. And there was a lot of those shots of, like, you know, a young Clark Kent with, like, his red cape on walking around the field, like, all that kind of stuff. And, it seemed like they were going for that, like, that route. And this movie never had that bright, cheery aesthetic.
Yeah, I feel like that's what it needed. It needed the
rise and fall.
Yeah, this is what the movie needed. It needed that rise. It was just, you come in and it feels cold.
Yeah, exactly. I never really felt there was the potential.
You have those like periods where they're like showing off like the baby films and stuff.
Yeah.
But like,
sure, you adopted a child, but I don't see the spark of good in your kid, you know? Like,
yeah, it just feels cold. Like he's answering questions in class and it's like he's a robot.
Yeah, yeah. Which I feel like it might be restricted a little bit by its runtime.
Yeah.
It's only 90 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as I checked out, I was like, oh, this is really kind of short. It also, I think there might be like, you know, with a bigger budget, you could probably do more.
Yeah.
I think it was a very small budget considering what you get, which makes sense. You're not going to give a lot of money to something as simple as this. Like to have a film set in small town rural America being like, oh yeah, it's just about like this kid turns evil. Like, It doesn't feel like the kind of thing that you can pitch and be like, I would like $20 million. Not $20 million. That's less than this. But to say like, I would like big budget AAA movie out of this, I don't think you could do that.
No, definitely not.
Like you couldn't even do that with like, if you were to say, we're going to make Red Sun, you know, we're going to make the actual communist Superman movie. I don't think, or Soviet Superman movie.
You know what? They probably could have done with $20 million.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What'd they have?
$6 to $12 million.
Oh, wow. That is a really small budget.
Yeah, it's very low budget.
Which, you know, fair. It probably made a lot of its money back.
It had a box office of $33 million.
There you go. So it did well. It didn't do super well critically. Like, I was actually kind of surprised by how poorly, like, its Rotten Tomatoes and its Metacritic score.
I feel like a lot of people have the same opinion we did.
Yeah.
Which is really good, like, good concept.
Yeah. Which I feel like is kind of where I see a lot of praise for it as well. Like, it seems like people either really like it or just think it's meh.
Yeah, I definitely feel like it's pretty bleh.
Yeah, I can see the reason why you'd say why you'd say, oh my god, this movie's amazing, you gotta see it. And it's just because the idea is so cool. You know, everyone wants to see, like, a darker twist on Superman. But I just feel like if you want to see it done really well and you've got 9 hours free, check out The Boys.
Yeah, it's definitely blur.
Yeah.
Oh, apparently there's a Halloween costume for the kid. It's
that disgusting, weird, like, what even is that mask?
I thought it was, when I saw, like, trousers and stuff, I thought it was, like, a football.
I was thinking, with, like, the laces on the front, I was kind of thinking that. It looks like the sort of pigskin American football type deal, but it's just but it's also a cloth mask.
Yeah, that's the,
like, it's got, like, this hatching design across it.
Yeah, it's like, it's really bizarre.
I just don't know what that is.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know whether or not he made it himself.
Probably.
Yeah, it's certainly
some article of clothing torn apart.
Yeah.
Restitched. You know, he's supposed to be smart. He's got that alien intellect, that awkward smart.
Yeah, it's
It they do set up a lot of like the Superman stuff, but then the intelligence thing was kind of throwing me off. Where it's like, okay, so he's programmed to be smart, kind of deal.
Yeah,
because I don't think Superman ever had, you know, like Kryptonian intelligence or Kryptonian wisdom. It's always like he seems kind of like very based in human brain power.
I'm pretty sure Superman's super intelligent, though.
I mean, I feel like he probably learns and retains knowledge better than a human, but it's not like it's not like he just has knowledge. It's not like he's just programmed to be still. It's not like he's got an atlas built into his DNA.
Yeah.
Like, I assume he just reads. I assume he can just skim read really quickly, you know? Like, if we're talking, you know, the old Primarch level of, like, intelligence from retention.
Okay.
Then he's got to actually learn it.
He's, like, one step below, like, Lex Luthor, Bruce Wayne, and Brainiac.
Okay.
Apparently, according to, like, DC...
Who are all, except for Brainiac, who are all limited by human intelligence?
Apparently in some of the DC universes things, it's, like, the top level is Lex Luthor, Batman, yep. Brainiac.
Yeah.
That is the peak. And then there's Superman. But Superman's intelligence also helps him read very quickly.
Yeah. Like,
you're
like
right. He's like reading and retaining is super quick.
But. Yeah. Like I assume he's smart, but I don't assume he's like some kind of genius. Like I don't think he can outwit Lex Luthor, which is why Lex Luthor is such a dangerous threat to him.
Yeah. That's why is that Lex is smarter than Superman.
Yeah. Like Superman's a bit more of a blunt force object.
I mean, Superman himself is like a bit of a scientist. Like his dad's a scientist. Like
Jor-El's a scientist.
I managed to pick up a copy of, what was it? Like a really old version of Superboy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, once when I was younger. Oh,
Superboy, The Adventures of Superboy in Crypto.
Yeah, no. Well, so what it was is that it was he managed to get himself weird power, like take away his own powers by mixing concoction of kryptonite and some other things together to drink.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he drank that.
Why? Let me just live with mortality.
If I remember correctly, he'd like hurt him, someone or something, so he did that.
Oh, okay.
And then he needed to turn back because it's Superman.
Yeah.
And then it was like, next stop, Metropolis. I'm like, cool, this is a Superman comic.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but yeah, so like Superman is really intelligent, so I wouldn't be surprised if, like, that's why I wasn't surprised with Brightburn also being really intelligent.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, remember, Clark Kent is a nerd.
Yeah.
He's a journalist.
He's a journalist. He's not like Tony Stark, who's, you know, a brilliant engineer.
Yeah, but you've also got to remember, Clark Kent is Superman. Superman doesn't want to know who Clark Kent. People wouldn't know who Clark Kent is. Like Tony Stark doesn't care because Tony Stark is Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Bruce Wayne like can show off his intellect because he's Bruce Wayne. Bruce Wayne is super smart.
Yeah, exactly. He's a billionaire, son of Thomas Wayne. Big deal.
Big deal. Big wheel.
Runs a fucking Wayne Foundation.
Big deal down at the Cracker Factory.
Yeah, down at the Cracker Factory. The Wayne Industries Cracker Factory.
Yeah, so like you got that going on, whereas like Superman's kind of flowing under the radar. I mean, the Flash is super smart.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, most of them are, really.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of superheroes tend to be the case of they're either, you know, quite smart themselves or surround themselves with smart people, like have their guy in the chair who can do their stuff for them.
Kind of like Oracle still with Batman. Yeah. I don't know.
Oracle exists, like... Oracle's there because Batman needs his backup. He needs someone who can run the numbers for him when he's in the middle of shit. And also, Barbara Gordon has an eidetic memory.
Yeah, Barbara Gordon got shot and now needs a wheelchair.
Yeah, she's got to help somehow.
She can't be Batgirl anymore.
Yeah, can't fight crime. Might as well help the Batman do it better. Yeah. You know.
No, yeah, like don't get me wrong. Like, yeah, the smart people always have like. People surround themselves with smart people.
Like if the superhero can't make their own suit, they have someone who, you know, that they know who makes the suit for them. Like they always have somebody, huh?
Edna Mode.
Yeah, exactly.
Not capes.
Sometimes they all have the same person, you know.
Yeah.
Fuck, I've forgotten a lot about Incredibles 2, but I always wondered if Edna ever had like competition. Like if there's someone else out there who she's competing with to make other superheroes' outfits, but it seems like she's like the top dog, you know?
No, she's the top dog. She's like a high class fashion designer,
yeah, exactly.
But also makes super suits on the side.
Edna's like one of my favorite Disney Pixar characters. Which is funny because she's in like two scenes in the first Incredibles movie, but she's got like such a lasting impression.
Yeah, she's got the presence.
Yeah.
It's like the baby.
Yes, of course. We need a suit for the baby.
It's like the suit is bulletproof.
10,000 degrees.
And also, because I love it when she says that in the reflection of the glasses.
Yeah.
It's just the fire.
That's just the image I have of Edna in my mind at all times. It's just her, like, clutching her fist, looking at this reflection of fire in her face, just so proud, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely like Edna mode.
Mm.
What were we talking about again?
I don't know, something about the Superman and the Brightburns.
Yeah, no, so, yeah, I would have rather the Red Sun movie.
Yeah. I mean, there's some really cool, like, adaptations of Superman out there that are different from the norm.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, I would argue this was really cool. It just didn't do it well.
Yeah, I liked seeing this. I actually enjoyed this movie for the most part. Like, I liked the idea of it and some of the stuff they did in it and some of the stuff behind it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, having Superman fly through a person is cool.
Yeah.
Like, that's something I first saw in The Boys, where the Flash, or the equivalent of the Flash, runs through a person. And it's like, the kickoff for the entire series.
Yeah.
So it's cool to see, like, you know, a dark iteration of Superman and how that works, like how terrifying that can be.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Have you seen, do you know much about The Dark Knight Returns?
No.
Okay, because I kind of like the idea of Superman in that, where Superman's an agent for the US government. He's like a government spook. So the whole thing, so The Dark Knight Returns is kind of what Batman versus Superman was based on, where Batman comes out of retirement, like Bruce Wayne's an old man.
Oh, yeah.
And he comes out into Gotham, like, killing Two-Face and the Joker, and his intention is to beat Superman.
Yeah.
So when eventually the US government rolls into Gotham City, shutting it down, and says, all right, we're going to have to take out the Batman, they send Superman to do it.
Yeah, it's...
So that's a cool iteration of Superman, where him and Batman represent two different forces of good, or good.
Yeah.
Where Batman's now this, like, radicalized force of, like... you know, this vigilante justice who's going around murdering people, but he's trying to clean up the streets in his new way, whereas Superman is this force of, like, the law.
Yeah.
And he's this bastion of order, where he's going to come in under the, like, supervision of the US military and shut that shit down because that disrupts their way of doing things.
Yeah.
So...
yeah, no, that sounds like a really good concept.
Yeah, that's an iteration of Superman I enjoy.
Yeah.
Injustice as well, where Superman becomes the villain in Injustice. Kind of by, like, once again, he's trying to enforce his own way of law, where he's at the top.
Because, yeah.
And Injustice, I think, is actually a really good way of doing a dark Superman story because it's this.
We're talking about the fighting game, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about the fighting game, Injustice. Cool. Because do you know much about the story of that one?
No, I played it mostly on mobile, so I don't think I get much of the story out of that.
Okay, because at the start of that, Superman goes up against the Joker.
Yeah.
And so the Joker fear gasses him and forces him to do something really terrible, which starts the whole movie. He ends up murdering Lois Lane.
Ooh.
So after that, he kills the Joker. And then from there, it's this decline where Superman becomes the bad guy by saying, okay, I am the ultimate... Superman says he's, like, good is the force of good for all of Earth, and decides that he should be at the top of the system because he's going to protect people better than anyone else can.
Okay.
So you have that division where Batman is against Superman because he thinks that that's wrong. Superman shouldn't hold absolute power, and Superman is so convinced that he's the force of good that that's what he's going to do.
Yeah.
So that's what I like. That's a dark Superman story I like.
Yeah.
Because it's Superman trying to do what's right and getting it wrong.
Yeah, and I would have rathered that out of Brightburn rather than just, like, I'm evil.
Yeah, exactly. Brightburn doesn't have the moral... Yeah, it's something we've harped on so much for the past episode, for this whole episode, but it's just, it doesn't have that moral, like, that fall and unfortunateness of just Superman trying to do good and doing wrong.
It's like, you know what it is? It's when someone makes a really edgy D&D character, and there's no reason for it.
Yeah.
You're just, it's like, why do you hate orcs? Oh, I just hate them.
Orcs are scum.
They're scum.
But why, though? Well, it said so in the rule book.
Yes, it says my race does not like orcs.
You know, hey, why'd you kill that guy? It's what my character would do.
Exactly.
You've raised a really good point. This is like the ultimate, that's what my character would do movie.
It's a murder hobo.
Yeah, exactly. It's a 12-year-old murder hobo whose entire thing is, that's what my character would do because the ship said so.
Yeah.
You know, there's no like build up and fall. It's just, well, the ship.
I assassinate him. Why? It's what my character would do.
Ship said humans bad, so I guess humans bad. Let's go kill the humans. Take yeah. world.
Yeah, it's like, what?
Which, by the way, his torture porn book was a little bit fucked
oh,
up.
Oh, that was messed up.
Yeah. Just her flipping through that and it's like, oh, wow, the kid would really do well in, like, the art scene. Look at him. He's got some very nice sketches in here.
Yeah, and then I was like,
oh, God, it's getting
it gets real bad real fast, but dude.
It's really bad. Oh, no.
Yeah.
All right.
I think we'll leave it there.
All right.
Talked enough about Superman.
Yeah, we did talk a lot about Superman, but I feel like that's important context of this movie.
They straight up mentioned that this is basically Superman.
Yeah, it's how this movie was pitched in the first place, yeah. I imagine. I've got a choice for us, Alex.
Yeah.
So next week, the next episode pretty much comes out on Halloween or the week of Halloween. So I've got a choice of two movies I want to try and pick between that I couldn't decide on. We've got the original Halloween.
Yeah.
So the John Carpenter 1978 Halloween movie.
Yeah.
Or I was skimming through Netflix. We've also got Hereditary, which is a horror movie I've been meaning to watch that I've heard is very good. That's from like last year.
I mean, we could.
We can go classic or nuevo.
We really want to go classic.
Yeah?
We haven't done any classics so far.
That's true. We should do one, like, big classic horror movie.
We did Nightmare on Elm Street last year, and if it's coming out the week of Halloween, we've got to do Halloween.
Yeah, that's why I was leaning more towards that myself. I just wanted to make sure I checked.
We can do Hereditary, like, some other time, even.
I mean, we can do that any week of the year, yeah, like,
you
know.
Halloween is Halloween.
Fair point. You know, Halloween only comes once a year, yeah. You know? Might as well do the OG. All right, exactly. So in that case, join us next week for 1978's Halloween.